Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host of not only this podcast, but Eat and Like with Jesse Blanco. You can find that any single weekend you like. That is 12:30 Sundays on WJCL, unless we're preempted like we were yesterday. If you set it to record with any kind of technological device, you will see us every single weekend. On the other end of the line is Margaret. We call her Maggie Crenshaw. Feels like we've been on winter break. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing so well, but I've missed you, my goodness.
it's been a couple of 2-3 weeks. Yeah, we had Snowmageddon. Snowmageddon last week. I think the week before, I don't remember what conflict we had, but we did. That was the weekend I did the cooking stage at the home show. We had some kind of conflict that weekend. And then, you know, I knew it was going to snow, but I didn't think we were going to get that. Did you?
Well, I think we knew it was going to snow. I don't think anybody realized that it would stay on the ground.
Yeah.
For 5 days, 6 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unprecedented. In my 52 years on the island, you know, I've seen snow a few times. In 1989, that's the great snow that everybody talks about. But in 1989, the snow was not on the ground as long as it was this time. So I think the snow of 2025 will now take its place in history.
Yeah, it was like looking out the window, trying to watch the grass grow. Just looking out, like, okay, has it melted enough? Nope, can't go anywhere.
Nope.
Yeah, that was an adventure. And then, of course, that was the start of Restaurant Week here, which made everything kind of clunky. It was, I think, the start of Restaurant Week over there as well.
It coincided.
Yeah.
I think Restaurant Week started on the Friday or Saturday night after it snowed on Wednesday.
Correct.
And it did get to a clunky start. But over here, I don't know about in Savannah, but several of the restaurants have announced that they're extending their Restaurant Week.
Yeah, we are. We have we had 34 restaurants on board for Restaurant Week, and I believe we have 20 who have extended. So,
nice.
That was, being very honest, you know, I didn't know how to handle that snow weekend. It was like, well, check with the restaurants and see if they're open. Cause I had started, not to rehash the whole thing, but I had started hearing from restaurants by Tuesday that their deliveries were starting to get affected. And so before the snow even fell, I thought we might have a problem. So just when the weekend came and we're all looking out the window like, okay, what do we do? I started hearing from restaurants asking if we would extend. And I said, if everybody wants to, let's do it. And so by the end of the weekend, we had 14 commits and a few more came on. So yeah, Restaurant Week here in Savannah goes through next Sunday, which is the Super Bowl. So some restaurants are going to end it on Saturday, but we've got at least the whole 5-6 days to enjoy it here in Savannah. So if you're listening in Bluffton, Sun City, I know we got a big following over there. Y'all come on down and enjoy some Restaurant Week. SAVRestaurantWeek.com for all the list of restaurants. So
fabulous.
Yes, it has been. And then, you know, right out of that, we went into the big story on your side of the river, which happened in Bluffton. It was the 20th, right before, literally right around when the snow started falling, that Poor Richards made the announcement that they would be closing at the end of January. They made that announcement via social media, and they'd been there 14 plus years, incredibly popular, Richard and Ali R. And so that kind of caught the whole community like, whoa, kind of flat-footed.
It really did. That's
yeah.
The end of an era.
100%.
Very sad, but happy for them to whatever they're moving on to from here.
Yeah, and they are. They had a big toast goodbye on Thursday, which I was unable to attend because I had a banquet I was emceeing here in Savannah. So I couldn't go. So I stopped by during the afternoon to see if I'd see them there. And I did. And I had a short, quick conversation with Richard. Super nice guy. They've been supportive of Eat It and Like It in the past. Really, really big fans of that couple. And he told me, no, I'm not giving, this is a quote, I'm not giving up my passion. I'm not giving up my passion. They're just taking a break. Because, you know, when you own a restaurant and it's basically the two of you,
It's 24/7.
I mean, he told me stories over the years of, even on their day off, on their day off, hey, we're going to go fishing or we're going to go get on a boat and go to Dufusky. He had this OCD-like nervous tick that he had to stop by the restaurant to make sure the power was on and the freezers were still on and everything was good. Every day he had to stop and touch it to make sure, because he goes, imagine you come back after a day off and the power's gone out, you lose how many thousands of dollars in products. So they got into the habit of stopping by. They live down the street, so it was easy to check on, but that's a grind for 15 years.
It is a grind. Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, I first knew Richard when he was the chef at the ever popular 211 Park restaurant that was here years ago. I think before you started covering the scene.
Yeah.
And just he's so creative, his yep. dishes.
Yep.
I still crave some of the things that he used to make. And I try to replicate them at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done that. I did it a couple of Valentine's days ago. I did his scallops with the Mornay sauce for Valentine's Day, which is just Mornay. Oh, did I say Mornay? I meant Mornay. yes.
His pizza with the shrimp and the beef tenderloin and
yes.
The,
yes.
And the demi-glace.
Yep.
Oh, ridiculous.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. Yeah. So we're going to see them again. They've made it fairly obvious that they're taking a break and they're going to do something else. They're just not going to do it there, which is cool. Everybody deserves a break and, you know, good for them for being able to put themselves in a position to take a break.
That's right.
So, yeah. So then, you know, the next shoe to drop after that is like, well, what's going to go in there? What's going to go in there? And I had known for a couple of weeks that this deal was in the works, but our friends at Shea George were planning to go into that space, which surprised me, but didn't. You and I talk about Shea George here on the podcast fairly regularly. They do a great job over there, but
yes,
I knew,
we love them.
Yes, I knew for a long time, cause they had George and others, his dad, actually, when I'd been in there for dinner, would ask me about, you know, locations in Savannah or whatever. They've always had their eye on expansion of some sort. But as George told me in our conversation last week, you know, they were looking, but they weren't rushing. And if you know George and that's his personality, it's like, I'm just going to sit here and wait for the right thing to come along. And it turned out that this Poor Richard space was that right thing. And the whole thing came. Go ahead.
I think that's a great addition there.
Yeah. 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 I'm excited for them. They had discussed, and I'll tell you about the they in a second. They had discussed having a restaurant with an open kitchen, you know, so that the production was the centerpiece of the operation. And they got that with Poor Richard's, that space at any rate. Yeah, it all fit. The chef, I wrote about it extensively at eatinlikeit.com. By the way, Maggie, in case you're wondering, I mean, I thought it would be a popular story, but it on our website exploded with traffic, exploded with nationwide, because we can track all that stuff. Nationwide, the interest in that story, I was like, whoa, okay. The only other story in the last 2 years that was bigger to this point, at any rate, was when we announced that Pomodori was going into Old Town. That went crazy. That, you know, Amanda teases me that I blew up the internet that week. But no, this story is the next largest behind that Pomodori announcement. But
fantastic.
Yeah, so it's all there if anybody wants to read more detail. But he has a chef friend from Italy who's come here a while ago with all, you know, paperwork and everything, and his fiance and his chef partner, and their vision was to open a space at some point, and so they're taking over there. His name is Mattia Bianchi from Torino, Italy, and so they he's from Torino.
That is so crazy. I have a friend who's named Torin
from Torino,
who's Italian. His parents named him Torin after the city of Torino in Italy.
I see. Well, that tracks. Yeah, he's from Torino, And they're gonna they're doing an Italian chop house, but they're gonna have all kinds of different stuff, handmade pastas, all kinds of things. So I'm excited for that. This and I'll leave it here. If anybody wants more about it, they can go to eatitlikeit.com. The article is there on the homepage. But I was amused when I talked to George last week. I said, okay, so everybody's gonna want to know when. And he goes, well, my dad says we can turn this place around in a month. And we kind of chuckled, knowing full well that everything takes longer than you expect. And
than you expect. That's yes. So true.
And you've met George's dad. And
yeah. What a lovely human being.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
He really is.
Huge graciousness.
100 million percent. But it's also of no at all surprise that he would say we're going to do this in a month. I was amused by that. So George said, I think April's good. I'd be happy with April, which I think is more reasonable. If they could get open for Heritage, that would be a boon for them, which is mid-April this year. The Heritage wraps on Easter Sunday if you're scoring at home. Yeah, if they could do that, I think that would be great for them. But then again, I've known plenty of restaurants who can open for St. Patrick's Day, but don't. Because if that's your first week of service, it could be a nightmare. So.
I think in our area, at least what I've noticed, is when there's a new restaurant, it tends to, and I'm not saying that this is always the case, but, and I'm not saying it lightly, but sometimes it doesn't really exactly matter the time of year, as long as it's timed within around certain holidays or events. But any restaurant that goes into a new space like that is going to have a honeymoon period, and they're going to be very popular.
Yep.
The beginning, because if they do the right amount of marketing, because we saw that with Madre here on Hilton Head last year, where they really didn't market themselves so much when they opened their doors, but I think that was their plan. They
right.
wanted to be a little bit quiet, you know,
right.
and kind of get their operation in order before they really accepted, you know, more traffic.
They didn't even have a sign up, if you remember.
They didn't have a sign up. That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that helped or hurt them. I don't have any information on that. I'd love to know from somebody over there whether they felt like that was to their advantage or not. But Shea George is they're gonna kill it, no matter when they open their doors.
Agreed.
They have the following. They have the reputation, and the marketing will be there.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because that's exactly what I wrote in a piece that I posted yesterday, Sunday. I said, you know, the traffic on this piece has been nationwide and through the roof. And what that tells us is that in the almost 5 years that Shea George has been open, they've done an excellent job of building a following and a brand.
Yes.
And that's what you just said. And so, yeah, I completely agree. And then I told anybody who was reading, if you like fine dining and you've not been to Shea George, you owe it to yourself to go, because it's really one of the more enjoyable experiences on the island. So,
solid. It's
yes.
Solid.
Yes. So let's look for Radici. It's called Radici Italian Chop House. Look for that in April. So what have you been up to these last... Did you leave your house at all for the snow? Or were you just looking out the window like the rest of us?
The funny thing was I had been on a roll with just cooking at home after the holidays and trying to control the amount of fat and salt and sugar, you know, because the holidays can be, you know, what they are. So I was going through... just, you know, and this was prior to the snow, I was going through a lot of new recipes and trying to come up with some healthy twists on things. And then it snowed and I was trapped in the house for that week, and I had so much good food to eat. So I didn't suffer at all. I didn't suffer at all. Like, some folks were calling and saying, I'm running out of food, and, you know, this and the other. I didn't run out of anything. I was locked and loaded and ready for Snowmageddon, even though I didn't know it was coming. But and it was kind of like Groundhog Day, the movie.
Yeah.
Waking up every day and going, oh, it's still there.
Yep.
It's still there. No, yep. I can't go anywhere.
Yep. 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 That was interesting. Like we said already, you know, you think, okay, by Saturday I'll be fine. And then you look out on Saturday, it's like, yeah, I guess I could go out, but do I want to?
Well, yeah, there was nothing pressing for me. And I thought, well, why risk it?
Right.
I would get out for a walk, a very careful walk, but, you know, just to get out of the house. Because
yeah.
Cabin fever does tend to set in.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to drive anywhere.
No. Absolutely. I told a couple of people, it's like, with my luck, I'll get all over Savannah, and then coming home, I'll slide and hit a tree. Not doing it. You tell me, though, you did get out this past weekend. Wasn't it a beautiful weather weekend?
It was so great, and I had such a lovely day yesterday out with my friend on a motorcycle ride and a long beach walk, and we finished our day by heading over to Lincoln and South, and I hadn't been there in a minute, so it was a really good thing to do. We actually were going to have a burger at Tin and Tallow, but when we got there, there were no parking spaces left, and the cars were parked all the way down Spanish Wells Road, and I thought, speaking of honeymoon period, that's exactly what they're going through, because they marketed the opening of that so well.
Yeah.
And everybody was raving about that burger.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants it. So we thought, well, let's let that hysteria die down. Let's head over to Lincoln and South. And there was just this great guy playing a little acoustic guitar and singing. And Lincoln and South, for those who don't know, is a brewery, and they have some excellent beers on tap, which I don't really partake in, but my friend did, so I tasted everything that he had. And then, of course, they have their food trucks, so we were able to pivot and have our smash burger at Lincoln and South instead, and we had a great time.
That's very
cool. It was a great time, and a lot of young folks were coming in with little babies and little kids, and there are dogs. It was just a really, really nice atmosphere.
That's cool. Yeah, I had Tin and Tallow yesterday for lunch. I had a triple.
Dang.
Yeah, first time. Usually I'd gotten doubles there, but I said, you know what? I'm gonna take on a triple, see how I feel. And it was a meal, boy. I wasn't hungry when I made my dinner, which I ironically I grilled some burgers yesterday in the evening. When I was grilling, I'm like, you know, I'm not even starving from that massive burger I had at Tin and Tallow hours earlier. But no, I did. But we went. It was funny. We went right at 11:30 when they start lunch service. So there were two people there, and they had gotten breakfast. So that the crowds in the line you speak of, we did not encounter. Good to know that they're slammed in the evening. Not surprised.
It was probably about 4:30, maybe almost 5 o'clock. There wasn't a parking space to be had in the parking lot, and they were, and cars were rolling in as we were rolling in.
Yeah.
And taking, you know, lining up along down Spanish Wells Road. So
yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I think that's just
yeah
exciting and
yeah
and all that. But now that not to deflect from what we were saying, but I did want to say there were some restaurants that I didn't get to for restaurant week that now that they're here for another week, I'm going to go check out.
Like who?
Is it Gusto?
Yeah, Gusto Italian over there in the, what, Sea Turtle Marketplace, I think it is. Is that accurate?
I thought they were at Fresh Market Shops. And I'm not even sure. It is an Italian restaurant that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I think it's Gusto. But at any rate, what their offerings looked really appetizing. So I wanted to check that out. and then also, you know, some of my other tried and trues are doing some fun stuff like Santa Fe Cafe.
Yes. So. Yes. looking forward to that. One real quick mention about Lincoln and South before we let them go. They're hosting the wrap-up morning for the Hilton Head Seafood Festival, Kegs and Eggs, on Sunday morning, February 23rd, if anybody wants to join us. That should be a good time. They've done it before. I love their beers. I enjoy them Friday night at the Pig Pig and an Oyster Roast. But yeah, Kegs and Eggs on Sunday morning, the 23rd, should be a good time if anybody wants to join us. Yeah, Restaurant Week, there are a handful of restaurants who are extending on your end of the river. And like I said, 20 of them over here. So it gives us plenty to talk about next week, right?
Yes, it does.
Let me know.
And hopefully I'm not wrong about Gusto. But if I'm wrong about Gusto, don't hold it against me.
Yes, we won't. We will stand on 278 and protest you. Very good.
That's
all right.
Never been done before.
Yeah, right. All right. We're going to get out of here. Quick mention of our fried chicken and champagne dinner. I think we have 9 or 10 tickets left on the 13th. You'll be there with me, right?
I will be there.
Yes. This is at the newly renovated Tiki Hut at the Beach House Hotel. Thursday night, February the 13th. We're going to get going 6:30, I think it is, and hopefully get some beautiful weather. But even if it's a little bit windy, we've got protection, so it'll be a weather controlled event. Looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
Yes, it'll be a good time. All right, you enjoy what scraps you can muster from Restaurant Week on your end. And I will do the same. It's been, you know, because you know Restaurant Week in Savannah is Eat It and Like It's production, correct?
Well, no, I know that now, but I didn't before.
Yeah, it is. And so it has consumed me / us, because I do not do this alone, for the better part of 3 months. It's and I can see the end of the light at the end of the line. I can see. And I'm, you know, My crack, if you will, is getting attention and butts and seats for these restaurants. That makes me happy at this time of the year. And it's gone well. I've talked to a couple of restaurants who have said, yep, this was great. So I'm excited for that. But there is the work side of it that has certainly been a little bit of a beatdown when you throw a Snowmageddon in the middle. But it's almost over.
That's right. Oh, so, well, good for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
For putting that together and making it such a success for the restaurants and the visitors.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. Thanks so much for your time. We will see you next week.